Good morning to everybody. Shavuot Tov, Good Vach. Parshas Re'eh is the parsha that we will discuss, learn this morning. I would like to share what I think is a very interesting theme that emerges from learning Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh has an enormous amount of information, material, mitzvahs, halachas, details of Bnei Yisrael getting ready to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, of course. I'd like to bring out what I believe is a particularly interesting theme in Parshas Re'eh, in light of what we've been discussing in Sefer Devarim. Now, I believe the Yesod, the key, the underlining theme in Parshas Re'eh is really one of connection. What I mean by connection is that God is looking and to tell Klal Yisrael, and to reach out to Klal Yisrael and to connect with his people. And Hashem wants the people, obviously, to connect with him. What I will show you momentarily is how this reveals itself. As we all know, there's a very interesting dichotomy that emerges as we've been studying and learning Sefer Devarim together. And that is, on the one hand, Klal Yisrael in the Midbar really had the closest relationship that they ever had with God. They were surrounding the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the epicenter of their ruchnias, was the epicenter of their connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu traveled with them by day and by night. The Ananim were there for them to protect them, to hover over them. And then they had the Eish, Mishalachas, the Eish would walk with them, would take care of them. There was the Mun, there was the Slav, there was the Be'er of Miriam. The Jewish people had a very, very close relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, panem al panem, almost face to face, where Hashem was revealing himself in the most obvious way whatsoever. However, of course, as we're going to prepare to enter Eretz Yisrael, that's going to change. But at the same time, in Eretz Yisrael, as the Torah would tell us momentarily, it's a land where Ein Hashem Elokecha Mereishis Hashana Achris Hashana. Klal Yisrael were able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in Eretz Yisrael in a very, very open way. Mireishis Hashanah Lachris Hashanah. Just look and you'll find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what seems to exist here is this tension that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael exists, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only exists, but is very, very present, nonetheless, there still is some work that has to happen on the part of the Jewish people that didn't exist in the Midbar. While in the Midbar, they were privy and privileged to have the pleasure of God's presence very, very clearly and openly through miracles, in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be less miraculous and less open, albeit very available and present, but nonetheless, there's still something that we have to do to work to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in the land of Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, but we can't just sit back and be passive about it. We have to open our eyes and do something. So it's almost as if there are three levels. There's Klal Yisrael in the Dor HaMidbar, where Eretz Yisrael, where the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, were just simply had to not even open their eyes. It was so blatantly and patently obvious, like a child that gets breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that's sent to school, and that's taken care of. It's obvious that you're being taken care of. There's nobody has to tell you that you're being taken care of. You have to be blind not to realize that your parent isn't taking care of you. That's the Jewish people in the Midbar. They are simply children of Hashem. Every single need is being taken care of. Kadosh Baruch Hu surrounds them, lives with them, is with them. They surround the Mishkan. The Mishkan has the Arna Aedos, the Arna Kodesh, the Luchos. Everything is clear and obvious. Eretz Yisrael is one step beneath that. We don't have the open miracles of the Midbar, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is very, very obvious and very, very clear. But we need to do something just to allow that relationship to be so obvious. It's almost maybe like a spouse. It's obvious that it's there, but you need to do something about it. You need to work on some level to make it valuable and to make it work. The same thing is true with Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. The relationship is there. It's very powerful. It's very open and it's very available. But there needs to be some level of commitment and some level of buy-in to make that relationship even stronger. The third and the lowest level, of course, is when we're out of Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Golus. That's where we find ourselves now, where we really, really have to work hard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is master upon him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his face. That happened after Churban HaBayis Rishon, after Churban HaBayis HaSheni. That happened in the Golus. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. Here, there, everywhere, up and down and all around. but we really need to work to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a very different way, in a very different relationship, in a relationship of Hester Pan. So what I believe you're going to see here in Parshas Re'eh is the Kadosh Baruch Hu preparing Klal Yisrael to enter Eretz Yisrael to make sure that they understand that, yes, I'm here, yes, I'm available, but you need to do something and something different. Meaning, the Dor HaMidbar had their way of connecting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Dor Nichnasim, Eretz Yisrael, is going to have a different way that they're going to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just going to be open up your eyes. You're going to have to do something to get it. That, I believe, emerges in the opening pasuk in the parasha. Re'eh ani nosein lefnecha mayom bracha uklala. Parashas Re'eh, if you're in the Stone Chumash on page 998, Kadosh Baruch Hu opens and tells the Jewish people, tells Klal Yisrael, I'm giving you brachos and klalas. Now, what's the purpose of a bracha and a klala? Rav Hirsch, in his opening comments in Parashas Re'eh, says that the word bracha comes from the word the Shorsh berech. Berech, even in modern Hebrew today, I believe, is a knee, right? It's the knee joint. Now, the knee joint is a critical, like all parts of the body is critical. The knee joint is a connector. It connects different critical areas of the body, different ligaments and different parts, to allow the body to be connected and to do what it's supposed to do. A bracha is a connector. A bracha is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to connect to you. I want to have a relationship with you. I'm giving you bounty. I'm giving you success. I'm giving you agricultural desires that you have, I will fulfill. I'll give you all of the things that you need. A bracha is a way of connecting. It's almost like a present. A present is a way to connect to somebody else. I'm giving you something. It's a way that the benefactor is able to connect with the recipient on whatever level the present may be. A bracha that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael is saying that I'm giving you something, not just because it's a present, l'shem, a present. I'm just giving you something because I want to give you something. But rather, a bracha is because I want to connect you. I want to give you something, and memela, the what's supposed to emerge from the bracha is that Klal Yisrael is supposed to say that we are recipients of something. There's a relationship between God and man, and therefore our relationship is concretized, is strengthened even more. Klala, on the other hand, is the opposite. Klala comes from the word kal. Kal means light. Light, something separates, it moves away. A klala means that I'm sort of separating myself from you. It's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making himself very obvious when you are mekalel somebody, that here I am and I'm cursing you. But a klala is milashon kal, that there's some level of separation. It's going to fly away, that there's some level of distance. We're separating from each other. And thus the parsha opens up with these two words and these two concepts being used, the bracha versus the klala. Bracha milashon berech, to connect. Klala milashon kal, lightweight, movable, not as strong and not as concrete and not as having a strong basis and thus separation. So I believe the parasha really tells us in a very, very obvious way that the goal of brachos and klalos is just that. It's separation versus connection. And really this is the background to understand Parshas HaShavua, that the goal of the preparation of entering Eretz Yisrael, and the goal of the mitzvos of Eretz Yisrael, as you will see momentarily, are to create that connection. To really, really powerfully show this point to you, what I'd like to do is start by looking at the end of the parasha, and then we'll go back pasuk by pasuk and show you how this emerges itself again. Parshas Re'eh is well known for many things, but amongst the things that it's well known for is the Shalosh Regalim. If you take a look on page 1020, or in Perek Tezayin of Sefer Dvarim, you will note that the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, the three pilgrimage festivals, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, are articulated. Now, why is it that the Shalosh Regalim, what's the basis, what's the reason for the Shalosh Regalim? Why is there a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel? Why are we commanded to go to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year? What's the Siba? Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu teach us that? And more than that, why is the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel given dafka now in Sefer Dvarim? You remember, in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Emor, we have the mitzvos of the Yamim Tovim. In Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Pinchas, we have the mitzvos of the Karbanos in Parshas Pinchas. And dafka in Sefer Dvarim is the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Even though we've learned about the Moadim and the Yamim Tovim before, why now are we learning about the Yamim Tovim and the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel? So Rav Hirsch mentions in Sefer Dvarim, and I'll share with you in a moment the comment of the Sefer HaChinuch, that now that Klal Yisrael is entering Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to find Jews in the north of Israel, in the south of Israel, in the east of Israel, in the west of Israel, we're disparate. We're no longer surrounding the Mishkan. Till now, Klal Yisrael traveled together, we camped together, we were all in one big pod, and you couldn't separate us. Klal Yisrael, we're tight-knit, and we are one unit, we are one formation. But now that Klal Yisrael enters Eretz Yisrael, and Jews are going to find themselves in all corners of Eretz Yisrael, albeit it's a small country, but nonetheless, Klal Yisrael is not going to be in one same place, we need to get together, and we need to find a way to regroup. And the way to regroup is to enter and to go three times a year to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to Ir HaKodesh, to Beis HaMikdash, to be Olam LaRegel, in order to keep that connection. And that's what Sefer Dvarim, and that's what Parshas Re is talking about, is this connection. Allow me to read to you very briefly the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch describes, as he always does, the reason for mitzvahs, what he calls the Shoresh HaMitzvah. And the Sefer HaChinuch, in his very, very beautiful, always poetic language, when he describes the mitzvos, writes as follows. Al kein yavo shalosh pe'amin bashana beis Hashem. We are commanded to come three times a year to the house of God. V'hu ka'amra mal derech mashal. We could explain this based upon the following parable. Hinenu lakel la'avadim nichnasim ubayim b'tzel karaso. We are like servants entering the space or the shadow of our master. And we rely and we find ourselves in the comfort, in the bubble of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love of us. Zar lo yavo b'sochenu. One who is not invited is inappropriate and is unable to enter into this special union. Ki anachnu levadenu bnei beso. We are who are considered to be members of the house of Hashem. That is the mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel. Three times a year, the Jewish people feel so connected to God by traveling to Yerushalayim, traveling to Ir HaKodesh, traveling to the Beis HaMikdash, because we're able to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very, very powerful and passionate way. And that's something that we need now more than ever. In the Midbar, we didn't need that because we had that on a daily basis. We were always in the surrounding environment of the Mishkan. But now when we enter Eretz Yisrael, we find ourselves in all corners of the land of Israel. We need to find a way to reconnect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to re-inspire ourselves and to be amongst family and friends together as a nation being inspired. We come and we enter the Beis HaMikdash. We are Ola LeRegel. We fulfill this mitzvah to reconnect. So thus, Rav Hirsch and the Sefer HaChinuch both posit that the basis and the principle of the reason behind the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel is exactly this. Connection, connection, connection. Now, of course, this is something that we are sorely missing today. We don't have this. We're missing the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, we don't have the Midbar. We don't have the miracles of the Midbar. Not the Man, not the Slav, not the Be'er, not the Anonim, not the Eish. We don't have that altogether. But not only do we not have that, we don't even have Aliyah LeRegel. And that's what we cried about on Tisha B'Av, that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But B'Churbana, we're really, really in trouble. But at least the generation that is transitioning from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling that generation that you need to find a way to reconnect, and I want to reconnect with you. I'm not going to leave you stranded now that we have left the Midbar and are entering Eretz Yisrael, but you need to find a way to connect. It's the Bracha, it's the Berech, it's the Aliyah LeRegel. With that backdrop, in terms of what I believe is happening in Sefer Dvarim, and more specifically in Parshas Re'eh, follow me as we look and travel through Parshas Re'eh, and I believe what you will see is this theme, that Parshas Re'eh is a parsha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I want to connect. I want to have a relationship with you. Here is the way that you're going to do it. So if you take a look on page, at least in the Stone Chumash, it's on page 1002. In any Chumash, it's Sheni, the second Aliyah in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Here the Torah tells us as follows. Not only are we going to have an opportunity, says Hashem, to reconnect three times a year on the Shalosh Regalim, the three pilgrimages at Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, but I want to connect with you in the Beis HaMikdash even more regularly. And watch this. This is something that's often missed or unknown. But there's a few psukim here that are very critical to point out, and a piece of important transition again that takes place between the Midbar and the entrance to Eretz Yisrael. In Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Torah says as follows: Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, this place that I have chosen for you, the place that God chose to rest His name, of course, the Mishkan. Shama tavu es kol asher anochi mitzaveh eschem. You are going to bring everything there that I commanded you. Oloseichem, vizivcheichem, maasroseichem, utrumaziyachem, v'chol mivchar nidreichem ashel tridru l'Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Moshe says, you're going to bring all of your offerings, all of your karbanos, your elevation offerings, your feast offerings, everything that you raise with your hands, all of your vows, everything you're going to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokechem, you will be glad, happy in front of Hashem your God. Atem uvneichem v'noseichem v'avadeichem v'amoseichem, you, your family, v'alevi Hashem b'shareichem. Everybody is going to go to Eretz Yisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash, and to bring their offerings there. And the Torah goes on to tell us, for a series of about 12 psukim, all of the things that you're going to do when you're going to come to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to bring various forms of offerings to, in the Beis HaMikdash. Everything has to be brought there. Your karbanos have to be brought there. Maaser has to be brought there. Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, all of the karbanos and all of the gifts that you're required to bring to the Kohen, to the Levi. And besides that, you're going to offer karbanos in the Mishkan. All this has to be brought into the Mishkan. Now, here something changes, something very important. Says the Torah in Pasuk Chaf, Tiyarchiv Hashem Elokechas Gvulcha, when God makes your borders bigger. And Rashi explains that this is referring now to when we enter Eretz Yisrael and we're no longer surrounding the Mishkan. In the Midbar, we're surrounding the Mishkan. But Tiyarchiv Hashem Elokechas Gvulcha, when your borders are going to get bigger, Kasher diberlach v'amarta ochlo basar kisava nafshecha lechol basar v'chol avas nafshecha tochol basar. So here I need to explain something very important based upon Rashi and based upon the Gemara. Anytime a Jew wanted to eat a hamburger, anytime a Jew wanted to eat a steak in the Midbar, you know what you had to do? You had to take the meat and bring it to the Mishkan and offer it as a sacrifice, even though it wasn't a korban. It was chulin. It was mundane meat that you wanted to have for supper. You had to bring it to the Mishkan and to shecht it there. Why? Why'd you have to do that? You know, today you just go to your backyard and you put it in on your barbecue, or you put it in your oven on your stovetop. They had to bring the korban to the Mishkan, offer it, and then that meat they were permitted to use privately for a meal. When they entered Eretz Yisrael, so here's the problem, and here's what the pasuk is telling us: Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokechas Gvulcha. The land is getting bigger. The land is getting greater, and there's a concern that people are not going to be able to come to the Mishkan anymore. It's not going to be feasible. It's not going to be possible because I live in the east. You live in the west. This one lives in the north. This one lives in the south. Every time I want to eat a hamburger, I'm going to have to travel a day or two or three to get to the Mishkan to offer the sacrifice and come back. It's an impossibility. So God says, "Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokechas Gvulcha kasher diberlach v'amarta ochlo basar kisava nafshecha." We want to eat meat. What are we going to do? In the Mishkan, it was okay. We just took a quick walk, right? And we offered the carpet in the Mishkan, and we went home and we had our hamburger. But now when we live far away, right? Far in the north of Israel, you want us to travel days to go to the Mishkan to eat a steak sandwich? So says the Torah, I understand that's going to be difficult. I understand that's going to be challenging. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm going to allow you not to enter and go travel to Eretz Yisrael, to the Mishkan anymore, but you're permitted to do so on your own. You're permitted to eat your meat if you shecht it halachically properly, and you don't have to do so in the Mishkan. You can do so already in your house wherever you may live. So this again speaks to the very same tension that exists in the transition state from going to the Mishkan in the Midbar to going to Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want a connection with you. And that's the reason why the Dor HaMidbar, the generation, the 40 years when they were sojourning in the desert, that if they wanted to eat meat or whatever they wanted to eat that required Shechita, they had to go to the Mishkan because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm so connected to you. And you want to eat properly? Bring and offer a korban. Practically in Eretz Yisrael, I would like to do that also, says Hashem. I want to have that connection with you. I want you to travel from the north and the south, from the east and the west, in order to eat your hamburger that you're going to have to come to the Mishkan. But I understand it's complicated. I understand it's difficult. It's not going to be feasible. It's not doable. So therefore, the Torah reports, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, you have a pass. You have a license that you don't have to travel to the Yerushalayim. They don't have to travel to the Beis HaMikdash. You're permitted to shecht, to eat the meat that you want to eat wherever you may live. So here again comes Aliyah L'Regel, that the mitzvah of the pilgrimage three times a year is coming to say that although the relationship that we had in the Midbar, that even when you wanted to dine, and even when you wanted to eat a meal, that was done in a very holy way, in a very deep connection with me, because you had to bring your korban in the Mishkan, in the Midbar. Now I understand that's not as feasible. That's not as possible. So therefore, ki yarchiv lecha Hashem elokechas gvulcha, now that your borders are getting larger and bigger, and you're farther away from the Mishkan, nonetheless, I still understand, and I can't require you to come so far to travel the distances that are so required to come to the Mishkan, but recognize that I desire that relationship with you. I want to have that connection with you, even though it's not so feasible. Hashem says that you are permitted and you have the license to eat the meat wherever you are. So it's a very important halachic distinction in the Midbar versus Eretz Yisrael. This is what's known as basar taiva, meat that was wanting to be eaten because there was a desire to eat meat, not because it was being offered as a korban. And the license was given that Klal Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael, were permitted to eat this meat, even though they weren't offering it as a korban in Yerushalayim. But again, this tension, the strong tension that exists, and the change that exists in Eretz Yisrael versus the Midbar. If you continue reading the parasha, you'll see this theme continues. And as we've pointed out throughout Sefer Dvarim, you will see again a very strong, strong sense of discussions about Avodah Zarah. Right? We have Averus, and we have discussed the Isurim, the prohibitions of Avodah Zarah. But now Dafka, as Rav Hirsch pointed out in Sefer Dvarim in his introduction, the negative commandments and the prohibitions of Avodah Zarah are going to be given in an even more intense way, and is writ large more in Sefer Dvarim than anywhere else. Because that's what happens in Perek Yud Gimel. In chapter 13 of Sefer Dvarim, as we continue Parshas Re'eh, we're going to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us. And you're going to meet the Shiva Amamim, the seven nations. And what do? They're idol worshippers. That's what they do. That's their business. They do idol worship. That's what they do. And you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get very, very close to them. And you may even become seduced by them to fall trapped into their trap of Avodah Zarah. And if you take a look in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Beis HaTorah tells us, Ki yakum b'kibacha navi ocholim cholim nasim lecha osu mofes. Not only is Avodah Zarah going to come, you're going to have people who are going to be claimed to be prophets. People are going to claim to be sorcerers, dreamers. And they will bring you a proof. Look what the Torah says about them in Pasuk Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. Chapter 13, verse 3. Uvaha'os v'hamofes ashidir b'yalach lemor. Melcha acharei Elohim acherim. Go after other gods, foreign gods. Asher lo yadatam v'navdem. They're going to say, come follow these foreign gods, these unknown gods. The opposite of a bracha. Baracha is miloshen berach, connection. Elohim acherim. Other foreign gods. The goal of Parshas Re'eh, the goal of Sefer Dvarim, is connecting to Hashem. And that's why, what do you call Avodah Zarah? Elohim acherim, other gods. Because it's not connection, it's dafka, the opposite. It's gods that are going to create a very sharp divide between you and God. Says the Torah, what do you do when this happens? Lo sishma el divrei hanavi Yahu, don't listen to this prophet. Oh, el cholim acholim Yahu, don't listen to this dreamer. Why? Ki minase Hashem Elokechem Eschem. God is testing you. Ladas hayeshchem ovim es Hashem Elokechem cholavam v'chim v'chol nafshchem. God is testing you to see whether or not you're going to stay close to him. In the Midbar, you didn't have this challenge. You didn't have the false prophets. You didn't have the sorcerers. You didn't have Ovdi Avodah Zarah. That didn't exist. You had the connection willy-nilly, ipso facto. We were so tied by the hip. You were surrounding the Mishkan. We camped together. We traveled together. But now that you are going to be disparate throughout the land of Israel, you're going to bump into people who are going to cause trouble to you to try to keep you separate from Hashem. And listen to what the Torah says in Pasuk A. What do you do? Achre Hashem Elokechem Telechu. Follow God. V'ososiro, and you should fear Hashem your God. Ves mitzvosav tishmoro, and you should continue to follow the mitzvos of Hashem. Guard them carefully. Uvikolo sishmo, and listen closely to God's voice. V'ososavodu, you should worship God. Uvo sidbakun, and connect to Hashem. Uvo sidbak is the ultimate mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. It's the ultimate mitzvah of every Jew, and it's dafka given here. Bo sidbak means that we have a commandment to connect to Hashem. We never had this. We were never told this before. And this is one of the Tayag mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs, that we should connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in the Masechet Sotah, how do you connect to God? God is Eish Ochla. God is a ball of fire. You can't connect to Hashem. So the Gemara tells us in Sotah Daf Yudalam and Aleph, Rashi quotes it here, you're supposed to help others. Bikur Cholim, Nichum Avelim, all of the mitzvos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for man, we are supposed to do for others. Hashem connects to us by taking care of us. We're supposed to be like God. So here you see the mitzvah Vos Sidbakun. That's what's happening now that we enter Eretz Yisrael. Our goal, our challenge, our commandment is connect to Hashem. We were never told that in the Midbar. The Midbar, that was an automatic. That wasn't something that we were challenged in. There was nobody fighting that. It was simply a cocoon of spirituality where we were so tightly connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we didn't need mitzvos. And that we didn't need to do anything but wake up in the morning, go to sleep at night, and we had that automatic relationship with Hashem. But easy come, easy go wasn't such a perfect thing because we fought God. And there was anarchy. And there was a sense of inability to connect all the time when it was so easy. But when you enter Eretz Yisrael, not only is your commandment to be Ola L'Regel, not only is your commandment to recognize the brachos that you are recipients of, but recognize that there are going to be tests. The tests are going to be coming from people outside. Elohim Acherim. Gods that are going to try to cause the separation. And the not to allow you to be misdabek. The glue is supposed to be very tight. But the Elohim Acherim are going to get in between the glue. And they're going to try to create this void and this separation between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah goes on and tells us in Pasuk Vav, V'hanavi ahu ocholei machalom ahu yumas. You know what we're going to do with this prophet? Do you know what we're going to do with this false prophet? He's going to be put to death. Ki diber sara al Hashem. Because he has spoken negatively about God. Hamotzi eschem eretz mitzrayim. V'haftecha mibes avadim. Hadichecha min aderech. This false prophet and this sorcerer, this dreamer is doing everything lahadichecha min aderech. To separate you from the path. We need to remove this evil from your midst. So here's this fascinating dichotomy which is going to be building up. In the Midbar, it was automatic. And there was nobody fighting it. It was only ourselves. We were the only ones who would challenge this connection. Now in Eretz Yisrael, where not only is the relationship a little bit different, that we have to work for it, we have to go to Eretz Yisrael, we have to travel to the Beis HaMikdash. We have to be Ola L'Regel. We have to recognize the blessings that we are recipients of. But now we have an enemy. We have people who are going to try to fight and to attack this connection and to divide and to divorce us from our relationship with Hashem. And thus the mitzvah uvo sidbakun. We have to become glue and tight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now it gets even more powerful. If you continue in Pasuk Zion, we learn about somebody called the Mesis. The Mesis is somebody who we never learned about yet. And again, it's not surprising. The Mesis is only taught to us right now, right here in Parshas Re. The mesis, the best way to translate a mesis is somebody who entices. A mesis is somebody, a Jew, who tries to start up with others and cause a Jew to sin and to go off the path. That's called a mesis. Often it's referred to in halachic literature and rabbinic literature. It's the mesis, but the Torah refers to a person who tries to seduce, to entice, to encourage, and to pressure other Jews to do something that's wrong. That's referred to as a mesis umediach. And again, the word is a very powerful word, which we are using in light of the antonym, tidbakun, the goal of Eretz Yisrael, the goal of the Jews when we're leaving the Midbar and entering Eretz Yisrael, is this devek, is this glue that's supposed to be so strong. The antonym of tidbakun is hasata, is enticement or seduction, trying to break that up. And if you continue in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha uvincha uvitcha oeshes chaykecha reecha. Torah says it could even be a family member. It could be your son or your daughter, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. May be a mesis umediach, may try to seduce you. Nelcha v'navda Elohim acherim. Again, the Elohim acherim have returned. You're being enticed, seduced to follow after other gods. Asher lo yadata atav osecha, that you or your ancestors never knew. We only have one Hashem. Or maybe the mesis will be from other nations that live in the land of Israel. From one end of the land of Israel to the other end of the land of Israel. Don't listen to them. Don't get caught up. Don't feel bad for them. Don't be compassionate to them. Don't have pity on them. You know what you do to the mesis? Ki harog tehargenu yadcha tiyabo b'rishon l'amiso. The mesis is killed. The mesis is worthy of a death penalty. V'yad kolam ma'achron, and everybody is involved. Uskalto b'avanu v'mes, ki bikesh l'hadichacha me'al Hashem lokech matziach ha'meretz mitzvah mi'bes avadim. The mesis is trying to uproot everything about the Jewish destiny. The Jewish people left Egypt. They went to the Midbar. They were recipients of the Torah. They're in the land of Eretz Yisrael now, the ultimate destiny of the Jewish people. And here comes somebody called the Mesis who's trying to uproot everything that has existed. The whole Yisrael Yishmo v'Yiron v'lo Yosifu lasos kadavar zaharabim kibecha, says the Torah, everybody will watch this death sentence. Everybody will be a witness to what has occurred, because it's the absolute opposite. It's the contrast of everything that is supposed to exist in the land of Eretz Yisrael. The land of Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be the place where we work to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wants that relationship with us. And comes the Mesis, comes the Mediach, comes Avodah Zarah, comes Elohim Acherim to do just the opposite of that. And then, not surprisingly, the next thing that we learned about in Parshas Re'eh is the Ir HaNidachas, the wayward city. If there's an entire city that is overwhelmed by Avodah Zarah, we all know the halacha that such a city is supposed to be burnt, is supposed to be taken down, and nothing can be used from that city whatsoever. And interestingly enough, in Pasuk Yirches, after the rules of the Ir HaNidachas, the Torah says, "Lo yidbach biyadcha me'uma." You shouldn't take anything from that city. But what's the word that's used to take? "Lo yidbach." You shouldn't connect. Don't connect to that city. Don't take anything. Because what you should connect to is Hashem, not to Avodah Zarah. And now when you look in Perek Yudal, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 14, Pasuk 1, if you follow all of this, and you've been following the path and the chronology of the mitzvos, the averos, and the rules of what you're supposed to be doing in Eretz Yisrael, what does the Torah say? Banim atem l'Hashem Elokechem. Then you are children of Hashem. If you're going to follow what I'm telling you, you're going to become close to me. You're going to stick to me. You're going to fulfill the mitzvot sidbakut. You're going to stay away from Avodah Zarah. You're going to travel 3 times a year to the Mishkan. You're going to connect all the time, and you're going to come to the Mishkan, and you're going to offer your offerings, the karbanos, the olos, the zvachim, the ma'aser rishon, the ma'aser sheni. Then banim atem l'Hashem l'kecham. Then you like our children of Hashem. And the Torah goes on now to tell us don't imitate the goyim, right? This is the aveira of chukas ha'akum, not following the statutes of Avodah Zarah. We are unique people. We're children of Hashem, and we want to stay connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to be unique. We have to be special. And therefore, the Torah goes on to tell us, Ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem lokecho, b'chabach Hashem li'os l'am segulim, kol amim, asher pnei adama. We're unique. We're special. We are the chosen nation. Follow what I am telling you to do. Don't get caught up. Don't get seduced. Don't get enticed. Stay far away. If there's such a person who is a seducer or an enticer, make sure that such a person is put to death. Not surprisingly, if you continue Parshas Re'eh, what's the next series of commandments we're given? Kashrus. Because Kashrus, of course, is another way that we are made different. We are made separate. We have special laws, how we eat meat, how we eat chicken, how we eat poultry, which fish we can and cannot eat. Because this is what makes Klal Yisrael who we are. And if you continue after the halachas of kashrus, which are given in Perek Yudalet, we are then told of the mitzvos of agriculture. Aser taser kol tru'a zarecha yotzei sadeh sham nashana. We have to bring the crops, and we bring the appropriate crops, and we have to bring different forms of ma'aser rishon, ma'aser sheni, ma'aser shlishi again. And where do we bring them to? To the Mishkan, to continue connecting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Perek Tezvav, chapter 15, continues this very same theme. The next mitzvah that we discuss, even though it's already discussed earlier in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Bahar, is the mitzvah of Shemitah. Because we continue to create a connection with HaKadosh Baruch. If there's any way to connect to Hashem, it's through the mitzvah of Shemitah. The land sits fallow for 7 years. We don't touch it. And it becomes more and more obvious who the master of the world is. That it's not Kochi Ve'otzem Yadi. It's not man's own hand and power that is creating the strength of our own agricultural system and society, but it's rather Hashem who is watching from above, who is taking care of everything. So here you see the Torah goes to great lengths to describe very carefully and cautiously all of the ways to connect Hashem. But look how it finishes. It ends in Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Zayin. If the goal of Parshas Re'eh, if the goal of Sefer Devarim, if the goal of the transition from the land of the Midbar to the land of Eretz Yisrael is to be one where we are looking to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's one thing you can't forget. Don't forget about others. You want to connect to me, I want you to connect to me. But you can't forget about connecting to other people, because you know what's going to happen? When you enter the land of Israel, you're going to have something that you never had in the Midbar. And that's Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Zayin, Ki Yabecha Evyon. You're going to have people who are poor. You never had that in the Midbar. That's something new. Me'achar Achecha Be'achad Sharecha. In one of the gates, wherever you may be, throughout the land of Israel. Ba'artzecha Asher Hashem Lokecha Nosin Lach. There's going to be poor people. It's a guarantee. It's a new concept. It didn't exist in the Midbar. Everybody was taken care of equally in the Midbar. Everybody received the same mon, slav, mayim, ananim. Everybody had the same. But here, because we are going to be independent contractors, we are each going to have our own fields. We're each going to be able to succeed on our own. There's going to be potential that some are going to be higher up. There's going to be a higher class, an upper class, and there's going to be a lower class. And look how the Torah defines our responsibility to those who don't have what we have. Lo se'ameitz es levavcha, v'lo sikbotz es yadcha me'achicha ha'evyon. You shouldn't harden your heart or close your hand to your brother who is destitute. But what comes first? Don't harden your heart. Meaning, connect to the ani. It's not enough just to give the ani what the ani needs in terms of the financial help, but there's connection too. Don't allow the destitute brother that you have to become hurt, to become insulted, because it's a very painful change that exists. In the Midbar, there was no such thing. You didn't have an ani. It didn't exist. All of a sudden, the Torah is to tell us the halachas of tzedakah. We never had the halachas of tzedakah yet because there never was an ani yet. Now, all of a sudden, we have to think about aniyim. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, when there's anius, don't forget about the ani. Don't just give something to the ani, but make sure you're thinking and caring about him. And this is halacha l'maisa, the way the Rishonim and Poskim, including the Rabbein Yonah and Shaarei Tshuva, the Rambam and Hilchos Pesachim, it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that there's an element of connection to the ani, making the ani feel good, not just taking care of the ani's financial need, but making sure that the pauper feels that you care about him, that there's interest, that you understand his predicament, you recognize the difficult situation, not just making sure that the needs and the void is filled, but feeling the pain and the suffering of the less fortunate, of the underprivileged, making sure that that person and that group also feel connected too. And thus, right now, the Torah goes on to tell us, don't look the other way. Don't pretend you don't see. And don't pretend that you don't know what the situation is. You do, and you must, and you are required. And tells us, make sure you're not going to think inappropriately and negatively about this person, because I'm telling you, you're always going to have paupers. I'm telling you, it's a promise. You're always going to have people who are poor. It's a guarantee. It's a promise, foreshadowing that this is what's going to occur. Don't forget about that group. Don't let them go. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell us how to take care of the ani. I want to conclude just by going back to the beginning of the parsha where we began and show you a very interesting contrast that takes place. And this is in the Sefer Koheles Yaakov, a Magid who was very, very popular, two-volume work called the Koheles Yaakov. There is a very strong pasuk in Perek Yud Beis where the Torah tells us to destroy the Avodah Zarah when we enter Eretz Yisrael. And listen to how the description of Avodah is in the Torah. Abei Tabdudus Kol Makomas Asher Avdu Shama Goyim. Destroy all of the places of idol worship that exist in the land of Israel. Asher Tem Yorshim Osam Es Eloheim. That you are going to possess all of these places. Now, where are they? Al Heharim Haramim, on high, high mountains, V'alagvos, in the depths of the valleys. That's how Avodah Zarah is described. High mountains and the depths of valleys. And in the Sefer Koheles Yaakov, he explains that this is exactly the inverse of everything we've described in Parshas Re about the relationship that we have with God. Avodah Zarah is found far away. Harim haramim al hagvos. There's such a separation and such a long, long path in between the Avodah Zarah and the people. Because Avodah Zarah is something which is foreign. It's Elohim Acherim. And the connection and the correlation between Avodah Zarah and the person is very, very fake and it's not real. Therefore, you have to travel far away because it doesn't exist within the confines of the home. But where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right with us. Shalosh Regalim. Every single day. L'shichno Sidrashu Uvasa Shama, the Pasuk says in Parshas Re, that we're supposed to be Shechenim. We're supposed to be neighbors with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tidrashu, we have to search and look to create that very deep relationship with Hashem. And that's what Hashem wants. Lo sidbakun. We should connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The devek is there. It's a brach. It's a berach. It's the knee. It's the connection. That's what Parshas Re'eh is about. And that's what Sefer Dvarim is about. The change and the transition from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael is a change and is a transition from a very, very easy relationship to a relationship that requires a little bit of work to see Hashem. But Hashem says, I want that relationship with you. I beg you. I know it's hard, so I'm going to be mevater. I'm going to allow you to eat your meat wherever you may be, and you don't have to come to the Mishkan on a regular basis before you eat supper. But that's what I want. That's what I desire. I want that to happen. Okay, I understand that we're not in the Midbar anymore, and it's no longer a walk to the Mishkan. And it's a trek, and it's a hike, and it's a day or two or three or four or 1 week trip. So I'm going to allow you to eat the meat wherever you may be. But at least Aliyah L'Regel, at least Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, come connect with me. I want that connection. Uvosid Bakun, make sure that you stay connected to me, and I'm going to give you bracha. And I'm going to create that connection. Chalila lo aleinu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, stay far away from Elohim Acherim. Stay far away from foreign gods. Stay far away from Avodah Zarah. Stay far away from the sorcerers, from the Mesis Mediach. And if you have such a person, put that person to death. Because the goal of Eretz Yisrael, as I prepare you, says Moshe Rabbeinu, to enter Eretz Yisrael is to make sure that connection remains. Don't think that because you left the Midbar, you left the spiritual cocoon of the Mishkan, of the encampment, and of the way we were set up and situated and the way we traveled, that means that there's a separation. That means we are no longer together as we used to be. No, 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 says Moshe. It's there. It exists. You're going to have to do something about it. But make sure you recognize how close Hashem is to you. He's your shachin. He's your bracha. He's giving to you. Make sure to keep that correlation. So that's what I believe is the theme that exists in Sefer Dvarim. And moreover, is really the pattern and the underlying and the recurring current that exists in Parshas Re'eh, this sense of creating this very strong connection with HaKadosh Baruch. And again, although we don't have it in the Midbar, and we don't have it in Eretz Yisrael today, our goal, our job still is, as Bnei Yisrael in the Golos, to work even harder. If it was hard in Eretz Yisrael, and if it is hard in Eretz Yisrael, it's even harder during the time of Hester Panim, when Hashem's face is even more hidden. And Hashem's face was not hidden in Eretz Yisrael. It's very obvious. We have to work to see it. But in the Golos that we find ourselves in the Churbanos of Beis Hamikdash Rishon and Sheni, this is the challenge that we have. And our goal is to work, to try, to find through tefillah, through all of the different mitzvos that we do, through the Torah that we learn, our goal, our job, and our relationship with Hashem is to try to uncover, discover, and to work to try to create that deep, meaningful connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.